What does repentance mean? Some say it means a change of mind, while others say it means to turn from your sins. That's what we're going to find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Really excited that you tuned in today. We're currently in a series called The Power of Repentance. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to help us get a fix on what repentance is in the New Testament. Let's jump right into our discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for joining us again. My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Bob.
And we're continuing our series on the power of repentance based on a book written by Bob of the same name, available at Amazon, at our website, faithalone.org. In the last episode, we talked about what repentance meant in the Old Testament. And Bob, could you just summarize very quickly what we found out?
Yes. Repentance in the Old Testament comes from the word shuv, the Hebrew word shuv, which means to turn. And it's often used in the Old Testament to refer to turning from your sins, turning from your wicked ways. And the result would be, if you turn, then God will suspend further temporal judgment. Further judgment in time. It's not a condition of eternal life in the Old Testament, but it is a condition of God's blessing and also of continued life, avoiding premature death.
Right. So what we saw was, again and again, repentance. You're faced with a situation where someone is involved in wickedness, and the wickedness results in judgment, and the judgment could be death, premature death. And the way to avoid that judgment, the way to avoid that premature death was to repent. Was to turn.
Right.
It wasn't a synonym for faith. It didn't involve hell. It didn't involve going to heaven or becoming born again. There's no verse that we know of in the Old Testament that where shuv is a condition to become born again.
Right.
That would be consistent with the New Testament, at least the Gospel of John, where there's only one condition laid out to be born again in the Gospel of John. And as you may know, if you've been following this program, according to John 20, verses 30 to 31, John was written with an evangelistic purpose to tell people, to convince people who don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, that they would believe that he's the Christ and have life in his name. And John never makes repentance a condition to have eternal life. Belief is the only condition. Well, now we're going to turn to the New Testament. And maybe it's possible that the New Testament would teach something different. It's possible the New Testament would define repentance differently. Is that what you found, Bob?
Well, it's interesting because the answer would be yes and no. On the yes side, one of the things we find out that's different is whereas in the Old Testament the word shuv was the key word for repentance, the New Testament counterpart to that are various verbs that use the term strepho, so epistrepho, apostrepho, and those mean to turn. But those only occasionally refer to repentance in the New Testament. For the most part, the words for repentance in the New Testament, when you look and you see in your English translation, for example, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3:2, Matthew 4:17, that is the Greek verb metanaeo. There's also a noun, metanoia. Those words are a bit surprising because they don't translate shuv in the Old Testament. Those words have at their root the idea of a change of mind. And when you look at the uses of metanoia and metanaeo in the New Testament, there's always a mental component to it. There's always a change of mind, but it's always about sin.
Right.
Turning from your sin or changing your mind about your sin. Now, there's another word, and that's the word metamelami.
Because you don't need to change your mind about doing the good.
Right.
If you're doing the good thing, you don't change your mind about
keep doing it. Right. But to change your mind about the bad thing is ultimately to turn from it. But metamelami is another word, and that word means to experience regret or remorse. For example, remember after Judas betrayed Jesus, he took the money back to the priests and wanted to give the money back, and they said, no, that's blood money. So he threw the 30 pieces of silver on the floor in the temple and left. It said he experienced remorse. Metamelami is used. Now, he didn't repent. He didn't believe, but he did experience remorse, but then he went out and hung himself. Hypothetically, he might have come to faith in Christ instead of taking his own life. But there's no indication that that's what happened. But it does say that he experienced remorse over what he did. That's why he threw the money back. That's ultimately why he took his life.
All right, so Bob, you said that the Greek word, one of the big Greek words for repentance, is metanoia, change
right.
of mind.
Right.
Now, doesn't that kind of settle the issue that repentance is a change of mind?
Well, no, because you must look at the context, and you must always decide what is the context talking about. The best translation in English would probably be repent. Because if you say change your mind about your sins, that's not the way we typically speak in English. We would talk about repenting of your sins as a decision to turn from your sins.
Do you think that there's any kind of danger of the etymological fallacy here? And I know that's a big term, but
right.
let me give an example of what the etymological fallacy is. A butterfly is composed of two words, butter and fly. But a butterfly is not airborne dairy product,
right.
you know? That,
right.
That's the etymological fallacy. If 2,000 years from now people read something in English that said butterfly, they said, wow, these people were eating these flying butter products. Does metanoia, thinking that it means change of mind, is it commit the same type of error?
It would be a root fallacy to say that it must mean that, or even that it does mean that. Because in every context, it's referring to wicked ways, sinful deeds. Therefore, I would say repentance or to repent are the best translations because they convey the sense that we are turning from sinful ways, turning from wicked ways. It's not a general change of mind about anything.
Right. We looked at the book of Jonah and how the city of Nineveh repented. What the Lord looked at was that the Ninevites changed their works. He looked at their works, and they actually turned from their wicked ways, and they changed their behavior, and then God did not destroy them. And it's significant that in Matthew, Jesus quotes this episode.
Yes. In Matthew 12, verse 41, we find that Jesus refers to this. In fact, a few verses before, we're told by Matthew that the scribes and Pharisees say to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Well, they've already seen lots and lots of signs, lots of proof that he's the Messiah, but they want more. And he says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And here he's referring to the fact that Jonah was 3 days in the belly of this great fish, and so will the Son of Man be 3 days in the earth. He says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." He's referring to his death and spending those 3 days in Sheol before he rose from the dead on Sunday morning. "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Now, when you go back to Jonah 3 and verse 10, and we looked at it last time, it says they turned from their wicked ways.
Mm-hmm.
The whole city turned from its wicked ways, and as a result, God suspended judgment. God is basically saying through the Lord Jesus Christ that because the nation has not repented at the preaching of John the Baptist and the preaching of Jesus and the preaching of his disciples, the kingdom is not going to be coming for that generation of Jews. And in fact, judgment is going to fall. And ultimately, Jesus repeatedly warned that 70 AD was going to occur. The temple was going to be destroyed. The city was going to be destroyed. And a multitude of Jews were going to die prematurely. We're told by Josephus that 1.1 million people died in the Jewish war between 66 and 70 AD. And of those, almost all were Jewish.
And what's really fascinating about Josephus, most people are never going to read Josephus, but for Bible nerds like me and you, we like to read this kind of thing. And it's really interesting how Josephus describes society at that time. They were not upright people. He describes their wickedness, their vileness, their evil, their wicked ways. It is exactly the picture of Nineveh. It's exactly the picture of Israel in the Old Testament. And what does wickedness bring?
Temporal judgment. Now, in the case of Israel, God has promised he's not going to wipe them out. So in 70 AD, he doesn't destroy every living Jew. If he did, then the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph would not be fulfilled.
Right, and God has to keep those promises he made to Israel.
So he kept a remnant, but he dispersed them throughout the Roman Empire, and they weren't brought back to Israel until 1948,
right,
when Israel became a nation again.
And so there was Israel in Jesus' day. They reject the Messiah. They not only reject him, they have him killed. They're a wicked generation. That means temporal judgment is coming. And of course, John the Baptist and Jesus call them to repent, which is a very Old Testament thing to do. Avoid the temporal judgment that's coming.
Right.
Repent.
And as we're going to see, we're going to look at 10 key verses in the upcoming episodes and the upcoming shows, and we're going to see that the calls to repentance, for example, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist preaching, Matthew 4:17, Jesus is preaching, that's not a call to be born again. That's a call for the nation to turn as a group, a corporate turning to the Lord. And, of course, undergirding that would be they would need to believe in Messiah. And if so, the kingdom would come. That's why they say, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near because Messiah is here. But the call to repent and the call to believe was not heeded by the Jewish people of the first century. John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. You are a child of God. You have, John 1:13, been born of God. It's not by turning from your sins. It's simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for the gift of everlasting life. But if you're a believer and you're not walking in fellowship with him, then you need to repent, because you are right now undergoing temporal judgment and you need to get back in fellowship with him. And if you have a child or a friend or a loved one who's a believer but away from the Lord, call them to turn back to the Lord, because God is good and God wants to bless them.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Now, you might be new to some of these ideas that we discussed today. Maybe you've heard different definitions of repentance. If you'd like to go deeper on this subject, I'd encourage you to come visit us at our website, which is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have many resources on our site, many of which are free and available for you, that can help you get clarity on this subject. We have a free subscription to our print magazine. We've got videos, we've got podcasts, we've got blog posts, lots of stuff ready for you to take in. You might even be interested in finding out about our live events that we do around the country. You can find out about that and much more at faithalone.org. Maybe you'd like to partner with us in our ministry. You can give a tax-deductible donation right there on the site, faithalone.org. Questions and comments can be sent to radio@faithalone.org. That's our email address, radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to look at that famous phrase from Jesus, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And we're going to ask, what exactly did he mean? I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.